A reading from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Christine, for reading our scripture this morning, and good morning, everybody. Hey, my name is Emily. I'm one of the pastors here, and if I have not had a chance to meet you, I hope to get to meet you soon and welcome you. Also want to say that we had a baptism at the early service this morning and welcomed, her name is Kylie, and we welcomed her into membership today, so I'm excited about that, and that's part of your family too if you are here at 10:30. So I would invite you to say, we welcome you, Kylie, in Christian love. Would you say that with me? We welcome you, Kylie, in Christian love. Yes, and I hope you get a chance to meet her soon. Wonder if you got one of these cards when you came in this morning. The ushers passed them out. If you did not get one, the ushers are standing at the ready to give you one. If you just raise your hand, let them know if you didn't get one. We want everyone to have one of these cards this morning. At the end, you might even want to take an extra or two with you. We still got somebody here over here. Ushers, thank you very much for your help. This is a summary of Isaiah 43. Patrick, there's one way over. You'll come around this way. That's great. Thank you, ushers. Y'all are awesome. This is a summary of our scripture passage this morning. And for those of you who are joining us online, there's a digital version of this in the chat online for you as well. Good morning to you too. This is, as I said, a summary of Isaiah 43, the first seven verses. I want to invite you to keep this handy. Keep it close as we have our sermon this morning. And if you have your phone with you, I want you to take that out and keep that handy too. I want you to essentially kind of hold these two together close this morning. Someone said about 60 years ago, take your Bible and take your newspaper and read them both, but interpret your newspaper from your Bible. That was Karl Barth, a Swiss pastor and theologian. I think we'd say that a little differently today, right? We might say, take your Bible and take your phone and use them both, but interpret all of this from here and hold them both together. We're starting a new sermon series today designed to help us do just that. Asking questions about what is it to live as a person of faith and to interact with and be part of this digital age that is so much a part of who we are. We've realized that is too big a topic to talk about fully, right? So we're just hoping to get the conversation started. So Pastor Jeff and I picked four topics that we're going to address over the next several weeks. Today, we're talking about our identity. Next week, information and misinformation. Then connection and disconnection. And then what would Jesus do with a smartphone? That'll be fun. So as we start this new series, would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we love you. We seek to grow in our love for you and love and welcome your love for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, on each one of us in this place and upon all of those with us online. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit take over and get me out of the way. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our refuge, our Savior and our Redeemer. And it is in your name that we pray, as all of God's people say, amen. Well, we'll start today with three questions, and I want you to answer them out loud. So the first question is, how many hours per day do you think we spend in front of a screen? Whether that's a TV or a tablet, a phone, a laptop. What do you think?
10.
Yeah, y'all are all in the range. The average worldwide is 6.5 to 7. It's a little higher in the U.S. And some of us, of course, are far more. Some of us are far less. And some of us spend that much time in front of a screen at work alone. And so realize, though, that that is at least half the amount of time that we are awake on any given day, right? It's powerful. Second question. How many hours per day do you think we spend as Americans on one of these? Yeah, it's between 4.5 and 5. For some generations, it's far more. For other generations, it is far less. Some of us don't use these much at all. And some of us, frankly, are addicted to them. And if we get somewhere and don't have them, it's like we didn't get dressed, right? It's we panic, we're lost. I learned a new word last week. It's called nomophobia, which is the fear of having no mo phone. Or the fear of having one and not being able to use it. Third question, what do you think is the average number of times we pick this up in a day? Yeah, y'all can type answers in the chat, too, online. Statistics range anywhere from 80 times a day, which is once every 12 minutes, to 350, which is once every 3. Like it or not, this technology is a huge part of our everyday life. Over 95% of older teens and adults have one of these. It is such a big part of life that the church needs to be here, too, right? If this is where we are and spend so many hours a day and so much interaction with it, we need to be here too. It's one of the reasons why the church has had a website for so many years. It's one of the reasons why we live stream our services online with folks who are joining us that way. And we have social media sites. The church has Facebook, Instagram, and more. We need to be here, right? If this is where we spend that much time and energy in our lives. So how can we be there in meaningful ways? These are questions we need to ask as people of faith. And I wish, frankly, that we were sitting around round tables this morning, because there are two other questions I'd love for you to discuss with others. So two more questions I'll ask, but you don't need to answer these out loud. But I do want you to think about what you'd say. So what do you see as the pluses, the benefits of using one of these? Think about what you'd say. Last week, I asked a bunch of people. This is what they told me. This provides connection, right? Communication with friends and family. It's access to information, news, ideas, recipes, troubleshooting, weather alerts. It's an alarm clock. How handy is that? It's driving and traffic apps that we use every day, commuting up and down 95. It's a calendar. It's emergency assistance. It's a camera. It's a flashlight. It's entertainment. It's social media. And they're great Bible apps and devotionals and podcasts. And it is an actual telephone. You know, we forget that sometimes. So the other question would be, what are the minuses, the drawbacks? Think about what you would say. This is what people told me last week, that it can be a huge strain on time management, loss of privacy, loss of sleep. It's hard to put it down. Apps and notifications are designed to be addictive, to keep us there longer. A little bit of loss of interpersonal relationship skills. And time we spend with this is time we don't spend with the people and the pets even right in front of us. Pluses and minuses, right? It's a mixed bag. Do we control our use of these, or do we let them control us? I wonder. What place of value do we give it in our lives? in our hearts? What is our relationship with these? I wonder. Out of those last two questions, when I asked them last week, the answer that I got for the second one that was to me the most concerning was that it has an impact on someone's identity. It can. It can cause us to question in certain ways who we are, who we understand ourselves or others to be, our real ID. And I don't mean the new license that we get right from the DMV with star on it. I mean our real identity. The one that comes from God. People told me that the biggest impact on all that was social media. How that impacts how we see ourselves and how we see others, and we can get so wrapped up in it. Statistics say that 75% of people use social media. And different generations are drawn to different apps like Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or YouTube, LinkedIn, whatever. But statistics say most people spend 2.5 hours per day on social media. It's designed to figure out what we like and keep us there even longer. And it can happen easily, right? I remember a couple years ago I was looking at videos of cute baby goats jumping around in pajamas. Have you seen these? They're adorable. And before I knew it, I had spent a whole hour watching videos of cute baby goats jumping around in pajamas. And I thought, what am I doing with my life? And so not long thereafter, I set a timer on my phone so that I would only spend 15 minutes a day in social media. It's made a big difference. This is a great way, right? There are benefits to social media, right? A great way to maintain or have relationships with people. We share personal stories and updates and thoughts and videos and pictures of life, and we follow the same thing in others, and we watch cute baby goats in pajamas, and we freely share our opinions about all of it and rate it and leave comments, so many comments. And at the same time, social media is perhaps the strongest peer pressure and comparison culture tinderbox in centuries. We compare our lives to the online lives that we see of others. And when we do that, boy, can it be a downhill slope from there. For me, I see ministry colleagues of mine, who have already finished their doctorate, they've published a book, and they're a lot younger than I am, and I feel like a big old slacker. And I wonder what in the world I've been doing with my life. Or for any of us, we can see maybe an old high school friend who is now so fit and has 3 kids who are perfect with an ideal marriage and this designer home and a noteworthy career and taking exciting European vacations and always getting a good night's sleep and waking up so joyful and cooking delicious homemade natural cuisine. And we think, well, what have we been doing with our lives? We don't measure up, right? We try to exercise or at least take the stairs. And parenting is hard, and so is marriage. And my decor is stuff passed down that people gave us over the years, and it doesn't match, and we love it anyway. And we're trying to squeeze in a staycation this summer. And would somebody please tell us how to get more sleep, because we are so tired some days we do not know what our own names are. And how in the world can somebody cook that much delicious, lovely, homemade, natural cuisine for their children who will actually eat it? And then when we are working over 55 hours a week, commuting every day up and down 95 to a job that has been in limbo since January. Right? And then you've got 3 kids, one who's made a racetrack out of the first floor and one who can't find his flip-flops, and the other one who needs you to please take them driving because they need more hours. Real life can be overwhelming, right? And the cat threw up again. And the mom culture and parenting memes that want to tell you how you should raise your own children can get vicious, can they not? We compare what we don't really know about other people's lives, right? Or the identity they have selectively created online with what we know all too well about our own. imperfections and very real messy lives, and we come up short. It can lead to problems with body image, putting ourselves down, putting others down to feel better about ourselves, and judging others, and not to mention the spike in depression and anxiety that have come with social media. And what a hit it can be on our identity, right? And all of this happens in this politically explosive and socially volatile climate, and we can get so wrapped up in it. Checking every few minutes, right? Looking for affirmation or a good fight. Looking for validation or meaning. Hoping we'll get one more like, or wanting to poke the bear. Or eager to leave a negative review about that restaurant that forgot our fries last Friday. Social media is everything from this wonderful, beautiful connection and encouragement and sharing and support with others in our lives. And there is bullying and shaming and judging and railing and ranting and misinformation. And then what in the world is a Christian witness of God's love? What does that look like in the midst of all that? Some of us have been victims of the worst of this. And I'm sorry if that has happened to you. Long before social media, Jesus had pressure on him to be somebody other than who he was called to be, right? The government told him who he should be and what they thought about who he was. The religious leaders did the same, told him who they thought he should be, had so many comments to make on how he did things and how they didn't like it. And those who were closest to Jesus betrayed and abandoned him and turned their back on him in his final hours. So, having that experience is not new. Jesus can help us through it. It's just a new format now, writ large and long in a digital footprint that can last for many, many years. And it can take a toll on our identity, who we are, and who we understand ourselves to be. Maybe you don't spend much time here, and it's hard to relate today. And you can't wait for the next sermon series, which is when we're back in the Gospels with Jesus out on the water. It's going to be great. But these kinds of questions impact all of us, no matter where we are in life, no matter our age. We all know what it is to question who we are or who we're going to be and where we find meaning and purpose and what matters. Those are universal questions. We know what it is to question our identity and have other people comment on it from within and from without. Think about it. When you move, when you start at a new school or change jobs or lose a job, or that imposter syndrome, or if you get married, or if you have a child, if you get divorced, if you have a big financial hit, or if you lose a spouse or a child, or when your parents die, or just simply growing older, or we get this major diagnosis and there's a big change in our health. We all know what it's like to ask those questions about who I am now. Or when we found our meaning at work and now we're retired, what do we do with that? Or we found our meaning in raising our kids and now they're grown. Or we found our meaning in our community and now we have to move again. There are many times in life when we question our identity and look for meaning and ask, who am I now? What matters? Many voices will try to fill in those blanks for us and tell you who they think you are or should be. Much competes to label us our whole life long in that identity crucible in which we grow up. The world will certainly try to tell you, and much of those things in which we find meaning may not last long. Isaiah, it turns out, has a lot to say about all that. And so does God, thank goodness. Because when it comes down to it, God is the only one who gets to tell you who you are. Amen? No matter what anybody else says. And what does God say about it? Well, pick up that card you got this morning. Read these words from Isaiah 43. This is who God says you are. I have called you by name, God says, and you are mine. So we're going to read these together out loud, and you can join us online. Say, I am created, formed, redeemed, called, companioned, precious, honored, loved. This is our real identity. These eight words are taken from the first seven verses of Isaiah 43. If you haven't turned there yet, I invite you to turn there in your Bibles or your Bible apps to that chapter. These words were written 2,500 years ago to people who were questioning their identity, feeling like they didn't measure up, searching for meaning in a difficult time. It is a chapter of hope after chapters of defeat in their lives. They were living in exile. After the fall of their king, after the fall of their nation, it was the 6th century BCE or BC, and they were forced out. They had lost their homes, lost their culture, lost their homeland, forced to build a life elsewhere amongst strangers in a world or culture they didn't recognize and were not comfortable in, and questioned who they were and where they would find meaning in it all. Powerful verses. I hope you'll get a chance to read them more and more in the coming week. This passage in Isaiah normalizes struggles in life with all of that. It says when we pass through these difficult times, not if. God says when that happens, right? When the ground shifts, when we move or lose a job, when there's this question about who we are, or when we feel like we will never measure up, God says, fear not, I will be with you and companion you in it. God made a choice to redeem and love the faith community 2,500 years ago. God makes a choice today to redeem and love the faith community here and now as well. And God chooses you. And says, no matter what you're going through, your struggles, you are precious to me and I love you like you can't imagine. And nothing you do and nothing anybody says about you on social media, nothing anybody comments on about you can change that, stop that, or make it even a teensy bit less. God's love for you, how God sees you, is a given. And this passage says all of you come together from the east and the west and the north and the south, everyone called by my name. It's formed and made uniquely in the image of God. You bear the image of God in you. Did you know that? This is who you are. Your real identity printed on your heart at your baptism like a tattoo that no one can remove. And I know somebody will come up to me after the service and say, yes, God loves us. You say that too much. But we are also sinners. And that's true. We are sinners in need of God's forgiveness. We miss the mark of being who God calls us to be and loving God and loving others well. And that doesn't change the fact that God still feels this way about you. Amen. Yes, we are imperfect and messy and cranky and impatient and love videos of baby goats in pajamas. And that doesn't change that this is how God feels about you. And somebody will come up and say to me, but Pastor Emily, we have to have standards. We have to have a criteria, checklist before God will accept us and feel this way about us. Well, frankly, no, that's not biblical. Grace is God's baseline for everyone. And yes, I'm going to say too much that God loves you. In fact, I hope I do. Because I don't want you to forget it. It's one thing to hear it, and it is a whole other thing for that to sink in. humbly, deeply, gratefully, because this, can you believe this? This is mighty good news. I heard a pastor say one time that words, this good, love, this uncommon, takes time to be believed and absorbed. And only after we realize that this is how God sees us and we accept it for ourselves, can we begin to accept that God sees everybody else that way too. What can help us navigate this as people of faith? Well, hold this and hold this, but don't let this one define who you are or what matters in life. Don't give it that much power. Think about your relationship with it. Use it for all its incredible benefits and pluses in our lives. It is indeed a gift and it is a mixed bag. So hold this and hold this, but start here. Let this come first. Only God gets to tell you who you are. Let God speak first. Let God's voice be the loudest. Let God tell you who you are and where you find meaning in faith and community and worship and discipleship and service and our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Our identity is found in Christ. Not in what others say about us or comments or how we compare on social media to anybody. This is your real ID. Say it with me again. Let's say I am, and we're going to read this one more time. Say I am created, formed, redeemed, called, companioned, precious, honored, loved. Put this in your wallet, carry it with you, and don't forget it. Amen and amen.